Welcome, welcome everybody. It's another Gadget Switch podcast. I'm your boy RP3, and I'm here with my co-host Mr. V Worldwide. What's up, V?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. Hey, on today's episode, we will be talking about the EV segment, about cars, electric vehicles. We're going to be talking Tesla, Ford, VW, you name it. We're going to be talking electric vehicles. Also on this episode, we will be discussing the LG Velvet. Is it a mid-range phone based on its price? Some people can say it is. Some will say it's not. And should there be a different tier for these super high-priced phones that's costing anywhere over $1,200? Should they have their own tier? Should they still be called flagship phones? We will be discussing that in this podcast. And also our expectations of Samsung Unpack. So, V, let's get this show rolling. So, I'm a big fan of EV vehicles. I plan on purchasing one in the near future.
Okay.
And if I had to pick one, I will be going with the Mustang Mach-E from Ford. I don't think I, at one time I did want a Tesla, but when I found out Ford was making one, I decided to go that route. What's your opinion on EVs, man? How do you feel about them?
Man, you know, ever since I've seen that Tesla, I don't know, the first one, that model was the Model S. I've always loved them. I saw this guy, I was here at the Balloon Museum here in Albuquerque, and I saw this car pull up. I was like, what is that? So mm-hmm. He opened the trunk up, and there's some seats in the back, and some kids got out. I was like, well, what kind of car is that? He's like, oh, this is a Tesla. It had the T on it. I didn't know the logo even back then, and I had the T. It just looked smooth and sleek, and ever since then, I've just always liked them. Oh, okay. And I've looked at specs and some of the things I can do. They just, you know, I'm a tech guy, so I don't know, man. I just love them.
Yeah, man. I felt the same way when I first saw the Tesla. And but, you know, I kind of like when I was thinking about EVs, you know, you go back to them kind of ugly, you know, boxed off looking things that wasn't really attractive. And it was, you know, it took Tesla to make EVs look cool and make it a real desirable product to pick up.
Yeah, exactly.
And now everybody else, I think, is looking at the success of Tesla, and they all want a piece of that market now. And you got companies like Ford, who I think is investing $12 billion into the electric market. And they have a stake in Rivian. They're making that new Rivian truck. I don't know if you're familiar with that truck, but it's a pretty nice looking truck. It kind of reminds me of an F-150 in its own way. It just have a different set of headlights. But Ford is heavily invested in Rivian. And I think there's going to be like an exchange of ideals between the two companies. And Rivian will get a lot of Ford's truck know-how. And in return, Rivian will help us with some of the battery tech. Ford.
So Rivian is a company. It's a different separate company.
Yeah, it's his own electric company. It's his own EV.
Oh, okay.
Car company.
Yeah, I've never heard of that company.
Yeah, yeah. If you get a chance to check them out, Rivian is, I think they had a truck they were going to try to put out, I think, this year, and it might have been some delays due to the COVID. But they're out there, and I think they're going to be somebody to reckon with in the future as far as EVs.
what kind of price range are they? Look, are they more of a budget sort of EV, or are they going to be like a, you know, up there with the Teslas and the Fords? And
yeah, it's going to be up there. I think they were starting, I think, in the high 50s or 60s. I'm not exactly sure. I don't have any notes in front of me, but I should see if I can pull something up. But yeah, I think they're starting in that price point right there. And they're going to be, they make nice looking trucks. I think they're going to have one called a Rivian 1T and then a Rivian 1S. And those trucks are going to be, one is going to be the 1T is the actual truck. And the Rivian 1S is like the SUV, which is, you know, going to be like, you know, it has like a Range Rover feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it has those really real funny signature straight up and down circular headlights. You know, most headlights you think are more wide angle, more left to right, where their headlights emphasize more of a north to south oval.
I gotta look at this, man. You got me interested now.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's nice.
Yeah, that Rivian.
Oh man,
is gonna be a pretty nice looking truck. And like I said, they got the SUV that's gonna come out. And according to their website, I think you can pre-order them now.
Yeah, it looks nice, man. And everybody's getting into the game, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's the market now with, you know, the global warming and stuff like that, man. It's a lot of people are looking to get into something else. And do they part? Do they do the, you said, do they have the rebates and stuff there?
Yeah, all of them, well, except for Tesla, still have their rebates, and you know, for now, where you can get up to $7,500 off the actual sticker. Well, not actually when you buy it, but when you file your taxes.
You get the seven, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Now, the Rivian, now they got what they call a quad motor all-wheel drive system. And what it is, those are four independent motors for each of the wheels with up to 200 horsepower available for each wheel.
Oh, man, each wheel?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's supposed to have precision torque control that's going to help it in high speed cornering. And it's going to be really excellent when it comes to driving in bad weather, but something you don't have to worry about, but
something yeah.
that I tend to have to worry about from time to time being in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man, we don't have nothing out here but the heat.
Yeah. So it makes it easier for you to, if they had a wheel drive system, you don't have to invest in a four-wheel drive.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was also looking at that that Cybertruck looks pretty cool too. It looks ugly, but I don't know, it's something about it. It just looks powerful.
Yeah. Now, the Rivian pulls to have a 180 kilowatt battery in their battery pack.
What kind of range did I get?
Oh, well, it all depends. I think, let me see here if I can pull up some information, but hopefully the Rivian truck can get you, well, according to them, it can get you up to 400 miles.
Whew. It's 100 miles more than anything I've seen.
Yeah, and the starting price point is at $69,000.
Oh, okay.
And it got 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. And this is something unique for electric vehicles. It can go wade into water at the depths of over 3 feet without damaging the battery.
Oh man. Yeah, that could come in handy. I mean, we do get flooding and stuff out here. So, I mean, that's one of the things we do get.
Right. And most of the time I see people who drive, like we have floods sometimes that be under the, under like bridges or something.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen people attempt to try to go through the water. And once that water get over that bumper, that engine is done.
Just done. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is supposed to be able to handle up to 3 feet of water without damaging the battery.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Up to 750 horsepower. The battery rates out at.
Man. That sounds good. That's a good looking truck.
Yeah, it is, man.
What I see.
Yeah. Now, don't Volkswagen got some, or I'm not sure. I think.
Yeah, Volkswagen, you know, I was just looking at it. They have the, it's like the ID3. It's called, it's a Volkswagen, a little hatchback. It's a pretty cool looking car. It has, it's like a 5-door hatchback, small family car. The layout's, has a rear mid engine. Let's see here. Yeah, torque 310. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I never, you know, I used to like the, what was it called? Oh, the Cabriolet back in the day when I was in high school. I used to always want one of those because it had the hatch, or, you know, it had the little sunroof and everything. I always thought it looked cool. But yeah, this car, it looks pretty cool. And it's the i3. And they're saying, so Volkswagen, looking in 5 to 10 years, looks like they said they want to track to deliver between 60 and 70,000 new electric vehicles just this year. And they produce about 100,000 units of the ID3 and the Sport Utility successor. So Tesla sold more than 90,000 of its electric vehicles last quarter. So they're looking to top that by about 10,000. So looks like that's what their mission is.
Now, you know, are you familiar with how Tesla sell their vehicles? Everything is done online.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can't get one. You only way you can get it used is even online. You got to get everything through them.
And in states like, I think, like Texas, and I know in Michigan, the dealerships have been trying to hold Tesla back from selling their vehicles even online because they don't like that selling model because they don't want other car companies to follow suit. Ford is doing online selling with the Mach-E too.
So, is it going to be similar where you can't get it in the dealerships?
Well, they got it set up where you can, like, if you got a dealership to have the vehicle delivered to. So, like, I put in my order for the Mustang Mach-E.
Oh, okay.
And I got a dealer that I've been with Ford as far as buying cars for all my adult life. I think I may have bought two vehicles outside of Ford. One was a Nissan Pulsar when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I had a Jeep Commander.
Is that like the Cherokee?
Yeah. I called it the baby fake Range Rover. But I had one of those. So it's an easier process for me with going through Ford dealership, whereas somebody who may have never, who's interested in a Mustang Mach-E, but never been through a Ford dealership, because there's a lot of people out there who don't even touch American cars, but they like this Mustang, and they got to try to go through a dealership that they may not be used to working with. But I got mine set up to go to a dealer. My sales rep said that when my car gets come through the system, she'll get an email then she'll email me. And all I'm going to do is go meet with her about financing.
Okay. Did you, which one did you, was it the rear wheel or all wheel? You got the all wheel, huh?
Yeah, I
got
to go all wheel drive. I got the, I got the premium all wheel drive one.
So. Yeah, you know, I was looking at that because my brother, he showed me, he asked me if I seen the new Ford, the all electric. I was like, what? And he showed it to me, man. It is sleek. It looks real nice.
Yeah.
But I noticed they, one of the guys reviewing it said that they didn't have the Ford logo on it anywhere. It's just the Mustang in the front.
Nope.
And they don't want you to call it the Mach-E. They want you to call it the Mustang Mach-E.
Yeah, you can call it whatever you want.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. That's what Ford wants you to say.
Yeah, but I got the premium edition, the extended range battery.
At 300?
Yeah. And and I got it in the gray.
Oh man.
That's but cool. Yeah. So I'm kind of looking forward to it, but I was supposed to get an email that, you know, let me know when it goes into production. And then once it goes into production, it'll let me know the next couple of steps to do. And it'll let me know like where the vehicle is at in the building process.
Oh, okay.
So they'll let me know that, okay, your vehicle has reached the end of the assembly line and, you know, it's going to be sent out and my dealership will contact me and just, you know, hey, Robert, you want to come on in, get the financing together, blah, 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 and what have you. Now, they got some Mach-E forums where people who have already ordered a Mustang Mach-E's, they got a list of dealerships who may try to mock up the prices. You know how they dealers, you know, sometimes manufacturer suggested price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you got all the dealer crap underneath it. And then the dealer is trying to make another 5 or 10 profit on it.
Oh yeah.
Well, they said Ford is frowning against that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they're discouraging dealers from doing that. And and they got a list of dealerships on the Mustang forums of dealers who are not mocking up the price, who is pretty much just sticking to that sticker price.
Oh, okay.
So it gives people information like it'll have all the dealerships in, let's say you in New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
It'll have on the forums all the dealerships there that's not mocking it up. So if you went to that forum and say, oh, okay, such and such Ford down the road is not mocking up the price on it, I'm going to have my Mustang delivered there. Because I know once it gets there, all they're going to do is just help me with the financing and give me the, you know, and, you know, get the car set up for you to leave.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cause they're not going to give you all the middle stuff and try and
haggle. And I try to upsell you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But what's funny is my dealership wasn't on the list because I don't think nobody's ordered a Mustang Mach-E through the deal. So I'm literally the first person. The
first one there.
getting the Mach-E. So I will be able to tell you people if they're trying to upsell me or not.
Yeah. Man, that's cool though. Congratulations on that, man. That's
gonna be cool.
You know, I saw a video. I was looking at a video on that one too. They had this dude that put some ice in the front. You know where it has that compartment in the front?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Put
some ice and some sodas in the front where the trunk or what a hood would usually be.
Yeah,
for the what an engine would usually be. Sorry.
Yeah, they call that a frunk.
Yeah, and it said it had a even has like a drain plug in there.
Yeah, it does. It drains out once the ice melts.
So that was cool. I was like, oh man, tailgating, because we do tail. You know, we go to the college football games and stuff here. They do a lot of tailgating. That would be cool and come in handy.
Yeah.
I saw that. I saw him put
wings.
Dude had some wings. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh man.
Yeah, I saw that.
No, it looks cool. Looks like a cool car, man.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, from a quality standpoint, Ford does a really good job of quality control. I say the one thing about cars, other EV cars that they do have over Tesla is quality control as far as the build. Because I don't know if you notice on YouTube, have you seen a lot of videos of people who just are pointing out misalignment in the body,
the doors,
doors not lining up correctly, seats. I mean, Tesla let a lot of things go that wouldn't be acceptable in a lot of other car companies.
Yeah, you know, I think, man, it's because it's Tesla, and I think Elon Musk is, some people, he's a likable guy. He has himself out on social media and stuff. You know, he's doing all these shows. He comes across as just relatable in a lot of cases, I guess. And then you have the fanboys of Tesla who are willing to take up for him. And I think if maybe some of the other companies had their person come out, and it had to be the creator of Ford. I mean, but it, you know, right, like the upper ranks come out and be a little bit more personable with the public, maybe. I don't know.
Bill Ford is personable per se. He's not a national figure like what Elon tries to do. You know, everybody's not rushing to follow Bill Ford because he does all type of vehicles. Whereas Elon is this tech guru. Mm-hmm. This electric truck and electric cars and electric everything, and he has a certain cachet with people where they give him, you know, I guess they allow him to, I guess, I don't know, man, let him get away with more. I don't know.
Yeah, because they do, man. I've seen them. I've seen the videos, and you know, people say, oh, I love it, but look at this, and the door don't slam right and or close right, and you know, it's off on one side of the body. And yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But I think that might be one of the reasons, man. They just want to stick up for them.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's kind of incredible. There's things that Tesla can get away with that no other car company can.
Yeah, man. It's like my Cowboys.
Your Cowboys can get away with stuff that nobody else can.
Yeah. America's team, after all, you know. Oh. That's how they see him. I haven't watched a Cowboys game in about probably like 5 years, man. I refuse to watch it until Jerry Jones leaves. I do, man. I can't. Oh, man. If they win, it's all good. But I mean, I don't watch. I watch my college football and that's it.
Oh, okay.
I just can't stand Jerry Jones, man.
V going off on his sports tangent. Let's talk about the LG Velvet real quick.
Okay.
LG Velvet came in at $599. They had the nerve to make it an exclusive with I think it's AT&T. Number one, they really can't afford to be doing exclusive anything. I mean, they're like always behind the big boys and Samsung and Apple, and they don't have enough. I don't know. I would think they would want to get their phones out into many people's hands as possible. Why would they? I mean, them doing an exclusive AT&T, to me, I think it hurts them. But and then I think the price point for a mid-range phone, it's so close to the V60, you might as well get the V60.
Yeah, what's the V60 at right now?
I think the V60 is on sale. I think the Velvet is like $599, and the V60 is anywhere between, I've seen it as high, I know it's under $1,000, and that's with the extra foldable caves. And without the foldable caves, it's like $7.99 or something like that, or eight something.
It looks like they're going for about seven.
It's going for $7.99 right now.
Oh, 700.
And somebody said the velvet starting price was $5.99. I know the starting.
That's the LG V60. It's $6.99. It's showing $6.99 for the V60. That's what I was looking at. I mean, if that's the case, yeah, the V60 is a much better phone from the specs that I look at. You know, myself, I usually just rocking the Note line, but I do look at the velvet. Looks pretty cool. I mean, it looks nice.
Yeah.
Good for a budget, but I mean, if you're gonna spend the money, you might as well just save up a little bit more and get that V60.
Right.
But I wouldn't.
Then is the AT&T exclusive.
Yeah, that's just bad right there, man. I don't think that's, because there ain't a lot of people. I mean, when you think about AT&T, you said it's AT&T
exclusive. Yeah,
man. A lot of people don't. I mean, as far as like budgets go, I would think more of like a Sprint, T-Mobile, those companies.
Right.
Because, you know, it's easier to get into those companies. But
you don't have exclusive on budget phones, or if you're trying to call it a mid-range phone.
Well, yeah, you just let it out everywhere, and then
you do. I can see you doing a flagship exclusive.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, think about it. You got your flagships everywhere, but you got your mid-range phone exclusive. To me, that doesn't.
Yeah, the flagship. That just doesn't sound right, man.
It don't. I mean, it's bad marketing.
They're losing out on a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't go to Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile. They're just strictly AT&T.
Just for now. And then about time that phone comes off of their AT&T exclusive, you got to understand, you got like the Pixel deal going to be releasing, or they're going to have their little unpack event. Samsung is going to have their unpack event. Apple is going to be doing the release of the new iPhones. Nobody's going to be thinking about that Velvet. You got this dead point in the phone world. They should have had this phone out maybe a month, 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cause you got a dead zone in July where you can literally own that spot, and you just give it up to AT&T only customers for LG Velvet. You could have came out, hit everybody with all the marketing, everything, and just made a big splash with this phone.
Yeah. Saturate the market.
Could have done all of that, but you do an exclusive phone and you're not going to release it to everybody else until later on next month. And by then it's old news because everybody else is going to be onto the Pixel, Samsung.
Oh yeah. You're getting into Pixel Note territory. Then, I mean, that's coming out of what? A month or two, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You don't want to. Yeah, it's best to just get it out. They should. But I mean, if they're already done the exclusive, that's crazy, man. I wonder what they had to get. I wonder what they got. What kind of check they got for that?
I don't know. I thought it was a bad idea. I'm getting off on a tangent.
No, man. I see it. I see even it, you know, in every market, you see it in the video game space. You see it. They're doing those. See, in the video game space, they usually do like the timed exclusive, but they'll do it for like a year.
Right.
Like, let's say PlayStation gets a game, they'll have a game for like a year.
But
and then later
exclusive
on.
Exclusive sales units, though.
Yeah.
You know, if you got new titles that you can only play on the newest unit, that makes you buy the newest unit.
Yeah.
But if you can only play, you can play new games on the old and new. You're not motivated to get the new one.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the things they're doing now. But yeah, back to the LG thing, man. Yeah, that's a bad move for them. Yeah. I think that was a real bad marketing move. They're going to lose out a lot of money.
I mean, that's just the opinion I have of it.
No, they can't. They can't afford it because you got four Samsung phones coming out. What is it? The Oh no, no, the two, the Note and
the Note 10, the Ultra.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a revised flip with the 5G.
Oh yeah, the Z Flip. Is that what it was?
That's gonna be redone slightly with so it can be on 5G and the Fold.
Yeah. Yeah, they shouldn't have done that, man. I don't know what they was thinking. Oh, maybe they got it. Maybe AT&T gave them a big,
gave them a good chunk of money.
Had to, man. Had to.
And that kind of brings me, since we were talking about the price, should these phones that's costing $1,200 and above, I know they're flagship phones. Should they keep that name flagship, and should we find another name for phones under $1,000, or should over $1,200 have their own branding name, or should we just keep calling them flagships and then everybody else is just premium flagships? I mean, what do you think?
Sort of like in boxing, you got the heavyweights and you get the super heavyweights. I think
what do you think? I mean, you don't have to agree with me. I mean, if you think everything is just fine, you can say that.
No, I mean, you got to have some kind of distinction in between them, though, because $1,000 and now you get into the $1,500 and it's going to be $2,000. Well, it is already like the Fold, right?
Yeah, the Fold is $2,400.
Yeah.
I mean, do you give them a name, or is it just something we just got to deal with? Everything doesn't really need a label.
Yeah. I guess you just leave them, man. Leave it how it is, because that's how
just leave it as is. Yeah, because I was just thinking, because I don't think people come in and say, I want your latest flagship when they walk in the store.
Like, wait, what? Which one?
Right. I think that's just, it might be me, the techie in me, that's trying to always put everything in a box.
Yeah, man. I think the phone prices, man, I think they're getting out of hand. I really do think they're getting out of hand.
The down payments are getting big.
They are.
Like T-Mobile, I think they had like $600 down for an iPhone. That's a whole phone back in the day. Or they want you to put $400 down or something like that. Them down payments, man, just for you to have and now they're doing 36 month lease.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I got. Yeah, man. I think, so do you think this is a thought I've always had, if the companies take away the lease option, do you think the phones would be as priced as they are right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. It'd be a different financing system. I just think they'd find a new way to finance it, but I don't know if it'll hurt them if they make you, let's say, if everybody had 36 month financing or 40 months, I think that'll hurt them because you're going to ride that whole term out if you're an everyday person.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be least likely to trade in a phone that you got on a payment plan. And just like phones depreciate like cars.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't even trade in that phone and get any kind of value towards the purchase of a new one. So, I mean, it's going to be, I don't know. That's a good question, man.
And I think, let's just say you didn't even have a leasing option. Let's say there's no, you just got to buy the phone straight out. I think if it was something like that, I don't think that these companies would have these phones at $1,200 and $1,500. I mean, they know people are not going to drop that kind of money. So they're going to make it more affordable. I think they would make it a lot more affordable. I think you would see the notes at like $500 to $600, probably. I mean, because nobody's going to go out and just drop 14.
But you got to take in the fact that it's the chip processor that cost a lot too. So when they give you 5G, all this 5G and the new 5G modems and all the tech they putting in the phones, you know, that takes up a big hunk of the phone price. So they're trying to recoup their money for giving us the newest and the latest and greatest chip processor and graphics card and all that mess. So, yeah. It's going to have to stop. I mean, people aren't going to keep turning over buying new phones. I think if it was like how you say it was, I think they wouldn't come out with new phones every year.
Okay. Yeah.
Now they may do every 2 years.
So that's like how they used to do it, though, right?
I mean, it'd be better. If you think about it, it might be better for them to do a new phone every 2 years. So they're not rushing out things that's half baked.
Mm-hmm.
Like in display fingerprint sensor. Everybody didn't want the notch. Everybody want their camera hidden behind the display, they're expecting to do. And instead of turning around, let's say when this note dropped, then they got to turn right around and start prepping for the next note with the latest technology. Whereas if they didn't feel the pressure to put out a new phone every year, let's say the Note 10 is still the hot thing. They just selling it for 2 years straight. And then the Note 20 don't come out until next year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you might be able to see more advancements in technology. Less
flaws. Yeah.
Yeah, with the flaws, I mean, there'd still be flaws, but I think they'd be minimal.
Yeah, because they'd have time to work out the kinks and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you got to think there. I mean, the notes are done now. I mean, they're done
right
for the year. You know, they're already probably ready to be shipping and stuff. You got to think that if it was like you said, every 2 years, they can just start up on the next one right now and have a whole year to get the production done and everything and get the kinks worked out.
Right.
And they'd have a better product in 2 years instead of just, you know,
right,
rushing through.
So right now, let's say they were doing that, would they be still selling Note 10s?
Oh, yeah.
Right now. So it'll be, I don't know if that would ever happen, but
yeah.
But since we're talking about Samsung, what is your expectations for Samsung Unpack? Is there anything you may have been reading about or something like that have caught your attention?
Yeah, man, that I expect I really want to see the Note come through. I know the S10, I didn't get it, but I heard a lot of people were happy with it. Or the 20, I'm sorry. Yeah, I hope that Note, and I don't want them to change a lot because I kind of like it. I mean, I like it the way it is. And the S Pen, I want to see a sturdier S Pen, because this one's flimsy. I love to draw with it though, man. It's cool. What else?
You got that new camera thing on the back.
Oh yeah, I heard that. So did you get to check out the 20?
There's going to be a regular 20 that's going to be built with subpar materials. Supposed to have a plastic back on the regular Note 20.
Oh no! So is it the S20 that came out earlier this year?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the Note 20.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a regular Note 20 with. It's not going to be made of glass. The 20 Ultra is going to be the premium built.
Oh, okay.
Premium looking one.
See, man. With
the glass back, and then the regular smaller 20 Note 20. It's going to have, I don't want to call it subpar materials, because there are good phones that have a plastic build to it. But I think a lot of people who have been listening and reading the rumors are somewhat upset about this. And the phone's supposed to be costing dang near $1,000 with plastic materials.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's, yeah, that, man.
And you can find budget phones for $200-$300 with glass back.
Yeah. Same. So that camera, I hope, have you heard anything on the camera? Because they said the one on the S20.
Well, they're still doing that 100 megapixel
zoom,
you know, main sensor that's only good up to 10 times zoom before the digital start taking over and
starts making them look like a pixelated. And
yeah, so yeah. I mean, I'm expecting some improvements over the regular S20 as from a camera standpoint, some improvements, but it, you know, it's going to be all software that's going to make it or break it.
Yeah. So I heard that the, so the premium one is supposed to have a better processor, right? The newer processor.
Or the plus. It's an overclock 865.
Oh, okay.
That's basically what it's going to be.
So what price range are they saying for like the premium one? 15?
I'm quite sure anywhere between 13 to 15, 16.
Oh, man. So that means that Fold is going to be
22 to 24.
Man.
And I actually like the Fold, but it all depends if they got a deal that I can do.
Yeah.
I want to try a Fold phone, but I don't know if I can get myself to put down that kind of money for it.
Yeah. That's a lot of money, man.
You know, I got to find out what T-Mobile going to do. What kind of deals they're going to have? Is it going to be sold in a store, or is it going to be you can only order it through Samsung's website? You know, all of that is going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I want to see how this goes because I know them and Sprint are together now. So,
yeah,
they're merged. I want to, you know what I said I really would like that Fold if they put an S Pen in it. Did they say anything about that?
No.
No.
Okay. No S Pen.
I would think though too, because of that screen, it's not glass.
Right.
So I think it probably wouldn't gel right with the S Pen. So.
Yeah, I don't think they have a place to even place where you can put the pen at.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
I'd like to see. I want to see that Galaxy Watch too, man. See what else they're gonna add to it, or what they're gonna do with it.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting too.
Are those what do you have? What are your expectations as far as like what do you want to see? Your main thing?
I want to see. I think the Fold is going to be the thing that's going to probably get me excited. The phones now, you know, phones are pretty much not really moving the needle for me anymore. Any kind of folding phone is of interest to me. If that, if the Fold phone is too crazy, the Z Flip might be the way I might try with the 5G. Might go with that. Cause I heard it's going to be priced, I think somewhere like $1,400. And as crazy as this statement sounds, $1,400 Fold is more reasonable to me. Then $2,400 or $2,300 on the Fold. So the Flip,
Z Flip,
yeah,
that look clean. That's a clean looking phone. I saw it in Best Buy. I saw a display on it. It's nice.
Yeah.
Have you got to mess around with it?
I haven't played around with it, but I'm like I said, I may check it out. But I'm quite sure they're gonna have new colors. If they got that Flip in a copper, that I think I'm gonna get it. If it's in a copper.
Yeah, but, man.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's gonna be hard. It all depends on what kind of deal I can get with the Fold, and have they improved the display where you don't have exposure like around the screen where you can get lint or something in there that can damage the display, and if it's got a good look, you know, if they've done some improvements with the actual display where I feel like the phone can handle maybe some, you know, a little roughness or something. or, you know, something of that nature, where it has the ability to handle being in your pocket and what have you. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that unpacked. It's the 5th, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, it's going to be the 5th. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'll probably listen to it at work. I'm probably going to have my headphones on and have it streaming live. So
yeah.
But yeah. So that pretty much does it. All right. I'd like to thank all of you guys out there who's been listening to our podcast. We appreciate each and every last one of you guys. If you happen to go to our Anchor website for the Gadget Switch podcast, you can leave comments there, and we can start reading some of your comments on the air. And also, if you like to donate and support the Gadget Switch podcast, you can also do that there. But for the most part, again, thanks for everybody. V, thanks, bro. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. As always, man. No problem.
All right, everybody. We'll catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.
Yeah.